Praise the Lord. All right, got a call this morning about, about 9:30 here. My wife, she's got her new hearing aids in. Everything's good. She got a ride to the airport all lined up. She's chomping at the bit to get here. I'm glad I got a wife that wants to be in church. I mean, wants to serve the Lord. She takes this every bit as seriously as I do. Probably I take it as seriously as I do because she provokes me unto love and unto good works. That's what we're supposed to do for one another. So I'll be looking forward to her getting in, and she's looking forward to being here tomorrow night and the rest of the meeting. Thank you for your prayers about that. Amen? Take your Bible tonight and go, I don't know where I want you to go. I got an idea. It's all good. If you're right with God, it's all good. If you're not, there's some things, places you probably hope the preacher doesn't go. Let's go to Proverbs 18 to start with. And I want to read a verse there. That's not the way I laid it out in my notes, but God's interesting like that sometimes. Wants to know if you'll yield. I'm yielding, God. I give up. All right, Proverbs 18 and verse 12, the Bible says this, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, but before honor is humility. That's worth reading again. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. That's like proudful. Isn't that interesting? You get proudful when destruction's right around the corner and you don't even see it because you're deceived. And then it says before honor is humility. I know some Christians, I know some preachers that are honest, but they're not honorable because of that. And it says the same thing somewhere else in Proverbs. Before honor is humility. And if there's anything that'll take a person out of the ministry or out of the pew, out of the will of God and the walk with God, it's letting that thing become all about you. It hadn't been all about you since the day Jesus Christ hung on a cross and said, Father, forgive them for they know not what to do. It was all about me and you that day. He wasn't up there because of any sin on his own. Of his own, but since then, it's reasonable that you and I give him the glory, the honor, the recognition, the praise that he deserves. And your flesh doesn't want to do that, neither does mine. But that doesn't matter. It's still right. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Let's pray. Father, I love you tonight. Thank you for this place you've given us to gather this, the freedom in this country to do so. Help us to redeem the time. Help us to quit taking the goodness of God for granted and lock in and try to get a little closer to you this night, this week. Please, I pray, God, you guide my thoughts. Let me say something tonight to be a help. Hit home, be a blessing. Give these folks something to think about, meditate on. Deal with according to the need. I love you tonight, Lord. If there's anybody in here tonight not saved, pray you make it easy for them to see that they need to be and they can be. And I sure thank you for saving me. And I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, my Savior. Amen and amen. Title tonight is Haughty or Humble? And I make a point to say that because I went on your archives and I was looking and Brother Bill helped me find the title that I'd been missing. And in the course of that, I went onto your archives where the videos, and you know, I went back to the meeting that I was looking at for and you guys had, I had message, according to that, I preached messages here I didn't even know I had. I said, well, what's that? And I'd have to click on it because you just named it something different than what I was used to, which doesn't matter. Matter of fact, I'm changing the title of some of my messages to your interpretation. Amen. So, but tonight I want to talk to you, I want to preach to you on haughty or humble, and I can't think of a better way to illustrate that than Luke 18. So let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 18, and this is a familiar passage. And I'm not, you know, looking to find something new or deep or different. Just I'm gonna go through the passage and try to bring what God laid on my heart to bring to you tonight. All right, so this is the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. And we started out in verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray. But I'm not starting at verse 10. It's significant. It's important to start in verse 9. And it's the Lord speaking, and it says, and he spake this parable unto certain. Not everybody. Not everybody that was going to hear this parable was it applicable to. And he makes that clear. He spake this parable unto certain. You know what that means? Every time the preacher gets up and preaches, maybe the Spirit of God, most likely the Spirit of God, has directed him to preach on a subject that'll be beneficial or accomplish the Lord's purpose in somebody's life, because the Lord is interested in us individually. And it may not be directed for you. You know, we need to back off and sometimes not be so quick to take offense or even be critical of a topic. Maybe it's for somebody else. Especially you get a meeting like this, multiple opportunities to preach, 10 messages. This might not be your night. Tomorrow might be. Here we got the Lord preaching unto certain. And it gets more specific than that. Who he's addressing tonight is, which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. He's addressing a specific group, and he says about them that they trusted in themselves that they were righteous. That doesn't sound too good, does it? I mean, we know that that's way off. I mean, we're not trustable. Especially in an area of righteousness. We have no righteousness of our own. The Bible says all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. I thank God we have access to the throne of grace because of the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. But the Lord's addressing a group, and I'm going to tell you what, this group has been reproducing ever since that day. There's plenty of them around today. Folks that trust in themselves that they're righteous. And it's not good. And it never shows up good. And the parable that illustrates it gets pretty clear. But I want to notice something else. He says that they trusted in themselves that they're righteous. But it doesn't stop there, does it? It says, and despised others. And the two seem to go hand in hand. And of course, what the Bible says is right, true, whether you get it or not. But I mean, you've been saved any amount of time, you've been in church any amount of time, you'll find out. The more self-righteous people are, the less grace they have with others. Amen. So that's a double whammy, if you will, because they're both bad. We're supposed to have great grace with each other. We're not supposed to despise anybody. Amen. So he lays the foundation with verse 9, and then in verse 10, we'll pick it up. Two men went up into the temple to pray. All right? The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Men going up, you know, when I pulled up here, each night, each time, you've got people, they park their cars, they might be in different places at the parking lot, but we all end up at the same door, we're all coming into the same building, we're all coming in here for the same reason. Lord willing. Right? So you've got two people, and I don't guess they rode together. gets obvious as you read through the passage. But they are going up into the church house to pray. Looks like got two guys going to the same place to do the same thing. Alright? And it says to pray. Now, according to Acts chapter 3, when Peter and John went into the temple at the hour of prayer, it was the ninth hour. It's the 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They're making prayer meetings. Amen. I mean, I see Christians week after week can't even make it to Sunday school. I mean, can't even make it to their own church's revival every night. Let alone go to prayer meeting. I remember when I first got saved, and they had a prayer meeting every Saturday night, and I needed to get in. I didn't sit around at home when I was lost, and so when I got saved, if something was going on, I knew I needed to be there. And it was amazing to me that there were more than a few times where me and the pastor, maybe one other guy, were the only people at prayer meeting. And here I am, brand new Christian, heathen. They don't even know how to pray except for myself, but, you know, practice a while, you'll learn, pray for others. Amen. These guys are making it to prayer meeting. They're different. Well, they're different. I don't want to say it's night and day, but they're different, obviously. I mean, by definition, one's a Pharisee and the other a publican. And kind of like every church I preach at. People are different. And that's okay. We are talking about today. That's the beauty of the blood of Jesus Christ we've been singing about. The thing that we have in common is greater than our differences. And that's cool. I like that. That's really neat. I didn't join another club when I got saved. I forsook all that. And I'm reminded on a daily basis as I commune with the Lord that we are tapped into the only real thing on the planet. And I love it. Amen. I'm real aware, I'm acutely aware what kind of mess I can make without the Lord. Yeah, and I've been too close to the edge with the Lord more than a few times. I need this. Amen. And so you got these two guys, and they're going into the church to pray, and they're different, just like any church, and then we're going to look at them individually. It said the one a Pharisee, so we'll just take it in order, and it says, the man number one, call it like that. Man number one is a Pharisee. Now, that's not a term I was ever familiar with. It's a Bible word. We're going to look it up. Here's what a Pharisee is by definition. It is a sect among the Jews whose religion consisted in a strict observance of rites, ceremonies and traditions of the elders. That's what a Pharisee, you had Pharisees, you had Sadducees, that was the definition of a Pharisee. Now here's what they're known for, and I'm not talking, this is what they're known for back then. Their pretended holiness, led them to separate themselves, considering themselves to be more righteous than other Jews. I want you to notice something. Their problem wasn't that they strictly observed anything. They had the right to strictly observe anything that they wanted. Or not. Just like you do. Amen. Their problem was that they thought that that stuff, that junk, made them better than everyone else. Just like Pharisees still do. Amen. You better be careful about that. Here's what Jesus had to say about them. You ought to hold your place there. Look over in Matthew 23 and verse 25. Lord's addressing them and he says this, "Woe unto you." And woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. That's your nice, sweet, soft, mild-mannered Jesus, just loving everybody. That's what people, I mean, the people that promote that kind of Christianity, not Christianity, they don't, I guess they never read their Bible, or the Bible they're reading must change it all a lot. He got pretty direct, didn't he? called them hypocrites. That was the biggest insult he could possibly give them based on what their whole religion was based on. They thought that who they were made them better, and he's calling them hypocrites. He did that more than a few times. And he says, "For you may clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. He's rebuking them for majoring on the minors. He's rebuking them for majoring on the outward and leaving the inward a total mess. And I'm going to tell you tonight, and I see it as I travel, if you're not careful, you can get to the point where you put more emphasis on the outward than the inward. And that's what you don't want to do. Amen? Verse 11 says this, "Now the Pharisee, he stood and prayed thus with himself." And he starts out his prayer, and he says, "God, I thank thee." Now, the Pharisees, we never talk about them in any positive way. But I just got to tell you, as we go through this prayer, there's a lot of it I don't have any problem with at all. He says, "God, I thank thee." That's a good start. It's a good start for him. It'd be a good start for you. Yeah. Amen. It says in Hebrews 13 and 15, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Amen? Yeah, thanks to his name. And then the next verse, verse 16 says, "But to do good and communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifice," what sacrifice? Giving thanks to his name. "For with such sacrifice, God is well pleased." He likes that. It's good to be thankful. If there's a reason that you can nail down for the state of Christianity in this age, it is a lack. I would say that it is a lack of sincere gratitude for what Jesus Christ did on the cross. We take the gift of eternal life and put it on our list of accomplishments and get on about doing what we want to do. And that God's not well pleased with that. Now, first time I read there, it said, I should have looked the verse up, but where God, where it says that, the Lord said to the servant, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," okay? I got reading through that, and it's a picture of something that could be said about you or I. And I remember as a young Christian, I thought, are you kidding me? The mess that I was, the life that God saved me out of, I'm so glad to be saved. I'm so glad I'm not going to hell. And then as I started to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord a little bit, realized that it's possible, no matter what kind of start you had, like we talked about last night, it's possible to hear the Lord say, "Well done." Amen. Man, what a blessing. But now you're over here where it's possible to not only hear "well done," that you can be well pleasing. And isn't that what the Lord said in Matthew chapter 3? "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Boy, there's a lot in there. Amen. He started out by saying, "God, I thank thee." And then he says, we're still in verse 11, "that I am not as other men are." Well, I'm going to tell you something. I don't have no problem with that either. I thank God I'm not as other men are. Matter of fact, there's a long list over there in 1 Corinthians 6 that I'm glad I'm not on. Amen. Amen. I'm going to turn there. You can turn there if you want. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. First Corinthians chapter 6, and let me see verse 9. "Know ye not," Paul's talking to him, and he says, "know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." I'm not worried about that. I'm not on that list. Amen. He said, "Thank God I'm not as other men are." Me too. I think so too. But I know why. And you better remember why too, because the next verse is this, and such were some of you. But you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So no matter what you were, amen, you get saved. We talked about being saved. You get washed in the blood like we've been singing about. You're not on that list anymore. Amen. I was on there a few times, but I'm not anymore. That Pharisee said, I thank God I'm not as other men are. And me too. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 10, he said this, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And don't be guilty, Christian, don't be guilty tonight of forgetting that if there's any praise, any virtue, like it says in Philippians chapter 4, if there be any praise and there be any virtue, if there's any in you, you need to bear in mind, it's the grace of God. Because every one of us is capable of the most disgusting, vile thing you can think of. When you start thinking that could never be me, you missed it. Thank God for the grace of God. Right, so he says that I'm not as other men are. And then he gives a couple examples and he says, extortioners, unjust, adulterers. And I got to say, in his defense, I'm glad he wasn't. If he wasn't. I've known some Christians that were. Amen. I hope you're not any of those things. But if you are, well, that's why we're having a meeting. You need to examine your own heart. You need to get that thing right. Amen. That book says over there, Numbers, be sure your sin will find you out. Well, I guess if you don't confess it, it will. You can get it out. You can get it right. I would encourage you to do so.
Amen.
Then he says this. Verse number 12, the Pharisees, remember, he's praying thus with himself. And he says, I fast twice in a week. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. I don't hear much preaching on it anymore. I don't happen to have a message on it. Amen. But it says there in Isaiah 58, verse 6, tells you that the purpose of fasting is to bring the flesh into subjection. Well, that's still a major need in our lives, isn't it? And the Lord made a point to caution them in Matthew 16. The scriptural purpose of fasting would be defeated if you used it to bring attention to how spiritual you were. I've seen people fast on a day that there was, because I'm in revival a lot of times, they'll have dinner on the grounds on a Sunday. And I've seen people fast when they know there's dinner on the grounds at the church and be standing over in the corner looking like they're going to wilt. And like, you know, suffering. And so they say, hey, man, get something to eat. Oh, no, I can't. I'm fasting for the meeting. I'm thinking, are you kidding me? People do that. They lack attention. Amen? I'll amen myself. You know me better than that. I don't care. So I said, I skipped the publican thing on purpose. So you don't think I didn't. He goes on, he says, I give tithes of all that I possess. Well, wow. Praise the Lord. That's a good thing. It's God's anyway. Right? And so, I want to give you a little help here. If you want to know, I mean, you know, you've heard preaching, you see what the Bible says, but if you want to know, do some little checkup, if you want to know, you want to know if your giving is really unto the Lord or not. You know, we can do what we're supposed to do because we're supposed to do it, right? That's one thing. But if you want to know, here's the test to find out if your giving is really unto the Lord or not. It'll be revealed in your attitude toward people that don't give. I've seen seasoned Christians. One church, it was a treasurer of a church, and he's out to lunch with somebody, and the topic of the conversation was the people in the church. It just ate his lunch. And he was well off, and he gave generously, but it's conversation at a restaurant. The believers in the church that didn't give, it bothered him. What does that tell you? If you're doing what you're doing for God, why would it bother you what other people are doing? It shouldn't. Like we preached the other night, everybody's not at the same place in their Christian life. Amen? So, but this guy, he made it clear. I mean, he's talking to himself. Instead, he's prayed thus with himself. He's not preaching. Amen. But I guess he's reminding God that he does these things. But the test about giving is your attitude toward people that don't. And I got a feeling it goes the same way with standards and convictions. If you're really doing what you're doing for God, why would it bother you what other people are doing or not doing? It shouldn't. It shouldn't. Amen. All right, back to verse 11 now, because he said, he finished the verse with extortioners, unjust adulterers, and we're talking about two men that went up into the temple to pray, and the first one, we covered him, and what he was in his prayer, but he mentioned, or even this publican. So now we're going to talk about the publican. Now the publican, a publican by occupation, is a collector of toll, or tribute. You drive around New York City, buddy, they got a bunch of them over there. I mean, there's a toll on every bridge. There's a toll on a lot of the highways. And I get over there driving around between Connecticut and New Jersey and in and out of Staten Island and Manhattan and Brooklyn. And I mean, I spent $100-some one day just in tolls. Amen. And I'm not, you know, I pulled up to the toll booth coming out to Staten Island at the Outer Bridge crossing at night one time in a motorhome towing a car. And, so there's a rate for cars, but after that they charge by axle. So now I got four axles like a truck because they're counting the vehicle as one. And so if a car is $8, you know, if a two axle vehicle's $8, and I'm confusing myself. I got, you know what I got. And so my rate to me, it should have been like 16 or, but it was like 32. Like it quadrupled. And it is what it is, cause that's all there is to it. So I pull up, now they're not the most friendly people. I mean, any New Yorker really. Don't get me wrong, just because they ain't running around with a big grin on their face doesn't mean they're not nice and helpful. I love going there. I have a great time. They're just not driving around smiling all the time. That's because the sun goes down for like 6 months, gets overcast, you know. That's why people kill themselves back east more than they do where it's sunny. Amen. It's just true, man. We need the sun. Amen. Not quite as much as you guys get. Brother Leno told me first time I came here, this is where the sun spends the winter. I told my wife on the phone today, I said, guess what, honey? Tomorrow, winter is over for you. Yeah, we're going to make fun of our kids for the next 3 months. Every year we do it. Amen? So, tolls, where are we going with this? I really don't remember. What's that? Publicans. Isn't this interesting? It gets worse probably, doesn't it, Brother Lindell? Okay? And he's smiling, he's snickering at me, amen? So that's what happens when you run too many rabbits, I think. So anyway, we're talking about this guy is a publican, and oh, I gotta finish the story on the bridge coming in. Thank you, Lord. I think it was the Lord. So I pull up to this toll booth, and it says like $32 at, you know, counting the axles. So I'm trying to, you know, I pull up, I want to give this lady a track. And they're not real receptive. So I pulled up and I said, ma'am, I read the sign there. And I was just wondering if it would be okay with you if I had my wife get out and go sit in a car and then I'll pay the $8 and I'll pull up and she can pay. And this woman busted out laughing. It was totally out of character for a New Jersey toll. But I said, no, I'm just kidding. And I gotta give her a gospel track, and I mean the church isn't a mile from the toll booth, and invite her to church. Amen? Amen. Publicans, a tax collector, toll collector, things like that. That's what this guy is. Now the most famous, to me, when I say this, the most famous publican in the Bible Now, if you're super spiritual, you'd probably say Matthew or Levi. He became a... But to me, I'm kind of carnal. I would say Zacchaeus. Right? He's the most famous. And in the next chapter after this, you got it. It says this in Luke chapter 19, verse 2. Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans. Wouldn't that make him Matthew's boss? Wouldn't that make him this guy's boss that we're talking about, that's going into the temple at the hour of prayer? Amen? I was wondering if Zacchaeus wasn't interested in he, it says he sought to see Jesus, who he was. I'm wondering if that's because he's probably wondering what's going on when two of his tax collectors had recently been converted. I think he was curious. Bible said he sought to see Jesus, not for what he could do, but to see who he was. Well, that makes sense to me, because 2 Corinthians 13:1 says, this is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. So with Zacchaeus included, you got three publicans saved there. And there was a couple Pharisees. The preacher brought it out Sunday morning. I think the publicans are ahead. I got a feeling tax collectors weren't any more popular back then than they are now. But he doesn't say, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or publicans. He doesn't say that. He's not talking about tax collectors. He's talking about this publican, this particular man that he went up into the same temple at the same time to do the same thing. This guy's got a problem with a fellow, bear with me, a fellow church member, a brother. Amen? He's got a problem. Long list. I think, what's the deal? And some things came to mind as I pondered this question. It might have been the way he dressed. I've seen Christians get wrapped around the axle. That's an old expression from the farm country, over things. Maybe his hair was too long. I talked about those guys the other night. Yeah. You know what? Those guys at that meeting in Georgia, when they confronted me on the fourth day, you know what I realized? From the minute I walked in the building, that ate their lunch, man. They just were so offended that there was a man with a ponytail in the room. I'm listening to 4 days, day and night, of great preaching, and those guys, seasoned Christians, they were, you understand what it's like? When something gets under your skin, you miss God altogether. I felt sorry for them later after I threatened to whoop them. But, I wonder what the deal is. He says, or even as this, maybe he had an earring. We got a guy who got saved in our church about a year and a half ago. He's got a piercing thing right here. And he's big old boy, big old rough guy. And I mean, he is tapped in. And he's taking Bible Institute classes. He's preached a couple times. He's got this thing. And I keep looking. I wonder when that's going to come out. And I'll tell you what, I wouldn't say a word to him. Maybe God's got that in there just to see who it's going to bother. And I'll tell you what, we had some people in our church that no doubt it bothered. And they're, thank God for Greyhound, they're gone. Amen? Wonder what it was that bothered this Pharisee about this publican. Maybe his wife worked. Maybe she had a job. There's people that get all, maybe his kids went to public school. You ever get around one of them homeschool churches? Am I in one? I mean, that's a religion of itself. And we homeschooled 5 kids. My wife, four of them. My wife homeschooled. We live on the road. We redefined the term school bus because the bus became the school. Amen. But there are people that, you know, could have been a number of things. Maybe he had a television. Maybe he had a television. Maybe that bothered him. Amen. You know, when I see people freaking out because of stuff other people do, even if they don't do it, what I come to realize is that they're just mad because they think that by not having it, that makes them spiritual. But boy, if they could, if they would.
Last of all, on this little list, maybe he's upset with this publican because he had a Christmas tree. Hey, I haven't had a Christmas tree in 40 years, so don't confuse what I'm trying to say. I'm just saying there's little things that go on in people's lives that we make bigger deal out of than we shouldn't, especially in light of the fact that Romans 14 says, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Amen. I got a spoiler alert for you, though. You can go the other way too far, too. I mean, you can push back on standards and resist convictions in the name of, I don't want to be confused with being a Pharisee. You do that for the wrong reason. I'm going to tell you something. You'll never be confused with being a Christian either. You better get what you do from God. You better prayerfully ask the Lord for direction, or you're just like them, only the other direction. Amen. All right. Be careful with throwing the baby out with the bathwater. That's what I'm trying to say. Because don't do things different just for the sake of being different. You know why? Because then the focus goes from Jesus Christ to you. And that's the danger. You want to be led of God. Amen. Or it all just goes right back to pride. Like we're talking about today. I know this. Whatever this Pharisee's problem was with this brother, you know, I'm taking the liberty either, okay, whatever it was, he should have gone to him. It says in Matthew 18:15, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. You know, there's so many things that come between Christians that are misconceptions and that, I mean, misunderstandings. People get at odds over things that are just a bunch of baloney. That's just such a spiritual way to explain it, wasn't it? Baloney. I don't know where that even came from. But Paul addressed it in Galatians chapter 6. He said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself. Amen. Lest thou also be tempted. Amen. Maybe this, and I understand this wasn't written for this Pharisee, but that's what he should have done, was gone to him. I guess maybe he's not as spiritual as he thinks he is. And I'm going to tell you why Christians don't go to one another when there's a problem and work it out for the glory of God. Same reason. They're not as spiritual as they think they are either. Amen. Amen. All right. Verse number 10. Go back to there and it says this. Two men went into the temple to pray. First man was a Pharisee. Historically a Jewish religious sect. But the term has become synonymous with self-righteous, proud and judgmental. Second man was a publican. Just a regular blue collar guy. Amen. But boy, there is a profound difference in their conduct. Verse 13. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Notice he's standing afar off. He doesn't even want to be the center of attention. Amen. It says he would not so much as lift his eyes to heaven. That's humility. He's humble. All right. And then it said he smote upon his breast. In this time in history, if a soldier smote upon his breast, if he looked at an officer in the eye and smote upon his breast, it was a symbol of allegiance. A respect, it was a salute. But if a man lowered his eyes and smote upon his breast, like this guy did, it's submission. Again, the topic tonight is humble or haughty. And like you can't get around the fact that these two guys were different.
But their conduct in the house of God was different too. They came in the same way. Same time. But they didn't leave the same way. Verse 14, Lord says this, I tell you, this man, talking about the publican, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And you just can't get past when Jesus Christ says, I tell you, like he began that verse, you do well to listen. Because you can take it to the bank. You're not the exception. Amen?
Amen.
Alright, go to Acts 15. So that's the Pharisee and the publican. Acts 15, verse number 5. Now you got this preacher's conference, this meeting going on. And, it says that verse 5, it says, But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed. Some of them guys got saved. Preachers showed us one Sunday morning. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Joseph of Arimathea, if I said it right, he was a Pharisee. Some of them got saved. Amen. God saved murderers and wild men and thieves and women of ill repute, but he even saved some Pharisees. There's a preacher from Florida that was a cop for many years in a town where the organization was, that I was in, had a chapter. And so he knew about my past and I knew about his. And our preacher invited me. He came up really to our church to graduate from our Bible Institute, and I preach, and so, you know, I'm this Duval County Sheriff, I mean Captain, he's coming, and I'm in there, I was the usher back then, and I was over in the side of the church, and here he walked in the door, I could tell I could spot a cop mile away. You can probably spot a cook mile away. And so we were both apprehensive of each other, and you know, the old school is, the best defense is a good offense. So I headed right for him. And I made a beeline right to this guy. He's about 6 inches taller than me. And he's like looking, and neither one of us knew what the other was going to do. And so I walked up to him and I said, so, God will even save cops? Wow. And he looked at me and he busted out laughing. We've been friends for 25 years. God even saved some Pharisees. Isn't that good? But according to the verse there in verse 5, it says that they seem to have the biggest problem with falling back into their old habit of trying to force their ideas on everybody else. Again, Proverbs 18 and verse 12, before destruction of the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. And the parable in Luke 18 is to warn us not to be that way. There's people that have gotten saved. I believe really gotten saved, but I know that self-righteousness has been the downfall of many. And if you're guilty of it, and who hasn't been at some point in their spiritual growth? If you're guilty of it and you don't repent of it, it'll be your downfall too. Amen?
Amen.
Haughty or humble? Again, verse 11, back there in Luke 18, I'll read it. This is my invitation tonight. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this. I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes and when I read that last part again, what I want you to do, it says, even as this, I want you to fill the blank in. Now this guy's got a personal problem with this publican. But I want you to ask your own, within the quietness of your own spirit, what causes that same critical spirit that Pharisee had to rise up in you? What person, what group of people
Do you despise so much that you've deceived yourself into thinking even God agrees with you? Be honest. Take a moment and respond to the Spirit of God if there's anybody like that in your life. The altar's open. And if you need to do business with God in order to draw nigh to God, this is the time to do it. Head bowed and eyes closed. If by chance anybody's in here not saved, the Bible says in Luke 5, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. We're talking about self-righteousness. The biggest danger of self-righteousness, you know, there's people that don't do a lot. The things on that list, the things on any list, they're good, decent, honest, moral, they get invited to church and they come, or some are church members in places and they just, the worst danger of self-righteousness is that you don't think you need to be saved. I've met people like that. They don't see Jesus Christ needing to go to the cross for them. And listen, the need to be saved is universal. Everybody needs to be saved. We are lost and undone and hellbound without the gift of eternal life that came at such a price, such a cost. The blood of God, according to Acts 20. If you're in here and you're not saved, you can be, and you definitely need to be. And if you'd like to pray, there's people in this room, there's men, there's ladies, there's teenagers that can open a Bible and answer your questions. Amen. And that's the best thing. I wouldn't be negligent to stand in the pulpit and not offer an invitation. Maybe you're ready, maybe you're there. You can have the gift of eternal life. Now the rest of you, I've asked you to think about filling in that blank. What group, what crowd, what person do you despise that you need to get that thing straightened out so that you can leave here closer to God than you came in? Amen. There's things that come to my mind. There's things God dealt with me through the years. And as I mature in the Lord, that list changes. There's things that I'm forgiving of, and then something will, you know, just be so offensive. Amen. We have short memories. We forget who we were. We forget that there, but by the grace of God, go I. Brother Brian, you come. You finish it out. People are praying. If you need to come to the altar, I'd encourage you to do so. Listen to this preacher. Do business with God. Thank you.